The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madri channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special silsila, to our very special program, The Special Ten, in which we are going to be continuing our discussion with regards to the lives of those 10 blessed individuals, those 10 special individuals who received the glad tidings, the good news of paradise, of heaven, of Jannah in this very world, from the very blessed tongue of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Before continuing, inshallah azza wa jalla, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi visited his brother Sayyidina Uthman rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was looking very happy and was saying, I was privileged to behold the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in my dream today. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam gave me a container filled with water. I drank water to my fill and I can still feel its coolness. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam rahmatullahi alayhi asked, how did you obtain this rank? He rahmatullahi alayhi replied, by virtue of reciting Salat ala Nabi in abundance. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salamun alayka ya Rasulallah. Alhamdulillah, my dear Islamic brothers, time and time again, we hear the blessings of reciting salawat and salam upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But just a simple question for you and for all of us. Maybe if we were to ask ourselves, you know, count the amount of times we've heard the blessings of reciting salawat and salam upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, we might struggle to keep count because we've heard it so many times. Possibly we've heard it so many times. But yet, if we were to be asked, how many times do we recite salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a daily basis? How many times do we recite salat upon a beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a daily basis? And have we made it a habit to recite salawat and salam upon him at least 313 times in accordance with Madani Na'amat granted to us by Amir Ahl Sunnat Tamat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya? Maybe for most of us, the answer might be not yet. We have not yet made it a habit of ours to continue our recitation of the salawat and salam and send salawat and salam upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a manner in where we are reciting at least 313 times on a daily basis. So let's make that a habit of ours. Let's make an intention, a firm intention, to make that a daily routine of ours, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, we've heard so far regarding various aspects from the blessed life of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And today, inshallah, we will listen to some of his characteristics in general, some of the qualities that he possessed, some of the qualities in terms of his worship and in terms of his personality. Alhamdulillah, we've looked at one quality in our last episode, which was his generosity. But along with generosity, He possessed many other qualities. So inshallah, briefly today in this episode, we will discuss some of those qualities that he possessed, that he was known for. If we begin with his worship, subhanallah, it is clear that Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu was from amongst those companions alayhim radwan. And he was a companion of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the companions alayhim radwan. They are the perfect example for us to see a great combination between ilm and amal, between knowledge and practicing, implementing and acting upon that knowledge. So a perfect combination for us to see are the blessed lives of the Sahaba Kiram alayhim ridwan, are the blessed lives of the companions alayhim ridwan, and likewise is the example of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. He is a perfect example for us to see his ilm on one side, his knowledge on one side, and his amal on the other side, where he is putting into practice what he is learning, what he knows. If we look at his salah, his prayer, he would be strict in attending the prayer with the congregation, with the jama'ah, even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, and even in his own time, in his own era of Khilafah, he was very strict with regards to the prayer. And similarly is the case when we look at his Sawm, his fasting. We see that Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, he was such a regular, he was always fasting, he was so regular in terms of keeping a fast, to the extent that when he radiyallahu ta'ala an was martyred, he radiyallahu ta'ala an left this world. We will inshallah azawajal in our upcoming episodes in the future, we will discuss his martyrdom. But when he was martyred, even at that time, he radiyallahu ta'ala an was in the state of fasting, in a state of fast, in a state of sawm. So we can see how much he loved fasting. Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu an would always observe nafl fasts, nafl sawm. Having taken rest during the initial part of the night, he would stand for worship for the rest of the night. Subhanallah. So this is his worship in terms of his salah, in terms of his prayer, in terms of his obligatory and fard prayer, and along with that his voluntary actions as well. And likewise his voluntary fasting. He would fast often, and to the extent that even when he was martyred, he was in a state of fasting. Subhanallah. If we look at his love for the Qur'an, his love for the recitation of the Qur'an, we find a beautiful, beautiful saying by himself, which gives us an idea of how much he loved the Qur'an. Once again, when he was martyred, when he left this world, he was reciting the Qur'an. He was in a state of fasting, and he was also reciting the Qur'an, subhanallah. And he says, إِنِّي لَأَكْرَهُ أَن يَأْتِيَ عَلَيَّ يَوْمٌ لَا أَنْظُرُ فِي الْمَصْحَفِ, that I strongly dislike it if any day comes upon me and I've not looked into the Qur'an, I've not looked at the Qur'an. Subhanallah. For a moment, ponder over that. When was it the last time that I opened the Qur'an and I looked into the Qur'an, I recited the Qur'an? My dear Islam brothers, one of the reasons for why we listen to the blessed lives of these individuals, alhamdulillah, we gain blessings through mentioning them. We gain barakah through mentioning these blessed personalities. And also, in order to learn how they live their lives, so we can implement a certain amount of it at least into our own lives. And alhamdulillah, one of the beautiful habits that we see in the lives of all of these companions, alayhim ridwan, and likewise we're discussing Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, in his blessed life, we see that he was a true lover of the Qur'an. He, to the extent that he himself says, as we've heard, that I dislike it strongly that a day passes, a day comes where I have not looked into the Qur'an, where I've not looked at the Qur'an. Likewise, if we see even when he was about to be martyred, surrounded by the rebels and those ill-fated people, at that time as well, he did not become heedless of the recitation of the Qur'an. At that time as well, he asked for the Qur'an and he opened it in front of him. And he was martyred whilst the Qur'an was in front of him. So this is the love that Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an had for worship, had for salah, had for sawm, had for Qur'an, the tilawat of the Qur'an, the recitation of the Qur'an. Subhanallah. Likewise, if we look at his characteristics, you know, one beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which he said to his blessed daughter, this saying, when his blessed daughter Sayyidatuna Ruqayya radiyallahu anha, she was to be married to Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anha, he informed her, أَكْرِمِيهِ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَشْبَهِ أَصْحَابِي بِخُلُقًا. Subhanallah. That he is the most similar to me in terms of his khuluq, in terms of his characteristics, in terms of his qualities, in terms of his characteristics that he possesses, in terms of his character. He is the most similar to me from amongst my companions. Subhanallah. What a beautiful character. What beautiful habits that he radiallahu ta'ala anhu had. And we can see a glimpse of that, you know, in his love for worship, in him staying up the entire night, in his love for the Quran, in his love for inviting others towards goodness, and in his generosity. To the extent that it is stated that he himself says that I would try to buy and free one slave every single Friday. Every single Friday I would buy and set free a slave since I have accepted Islam. Subhanallah. Likewise, another beautiful characteristic of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu that we find is haya, is his modesty that we've hinted towards many a times during the last few episodes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Al-haya'u min al-iman. Likewise, he says, Al-haya'u khayrun kulluhu. Haya is all of goodness. It's goodness. Wal-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi-khayr. Haya brings nothing but goodness. Subhanallah. So these are the sayings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to haya, with regards to modesty. And with regards to the modesty of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, إِنَّ أَشَدَّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا حَيَاءً عُثْمَانِ. That after the messenger, the Nabi of this Ummah, after the Nabi of this Ummah, meaning our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that has the most haya, most modesty is Uthman. Subhanallah. So this is the haya modesty of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, which is being spoken about by the tongue of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent that we've heard our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself says, should I not be shy of him from whom even the angels are shy? Even the angels do haya. So this was the haya of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Likewise, when we look at his generosity, we spoke about his generosity in the last episode, that we've discussed his generosity in detail in that episode, and we see that he radiallahu anhu was always ready to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another beautiful quality of his is his humbleness, his sort of way of not considering himself to be anyone big, not to be too full of himself or too boastful of himself, to the extent that many a times he was seen even resting on bare ground, to the extent that he was once seen lying down with a brick underneath his head, or even a part of a brick underneath his head, and he was resting in such a manner. This was the humbleness of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. In terms of his simplicity with regards to food, it is stated that Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu an would feed the people with lavish food. Would feed the people with lavish food, and he himself would go home and remain contented with vinegar and olive only. Subhanallah. This was the simplicity of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. The way he continued to live his life One example we've seen through his simplicity, and many other narrations which speak about the simplicity of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. To the extent that it is narrated that once Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu an was riding on his mule, and behind him was sat his slave. So this was, you know, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu an, when we look at his simplicity and even his way of fulfilling the rights of other people, not violating the rights of other people, there right in front of us as an amazing example is his life, where we can take lessons on board from there. His zuhud, his abstinence from the world, his detachment from the world can be seen through many incidents that took place in his life. One such example that we can see, actually if we look, you know, the fact that he was a leader of the believers, and despite his high status, he had simplicity in his food, in his clothing, in his way of living. He used to eat simple food, as we've just heard. He used to wear simplistic clothing, which shows us how simplistic he was, and how much he was detached from the world. He wasn't really into the world. He didn't have the love of the world in his heart. Likewise, as I've mentioned, when we look at his fulfilling the rights of other people, him being careful of fulfilling the rights of other people, a beautiful example that we see from his blessed life is that he would never bother a servant at night. Because he was such a lover of prayer and worship, he would get up for tahajjud, the night prayer, in which basically we go to sleep, and after having gone to sleep, sleeping is a condition for this prayer, after having gone to sleep, then we get up. So the reward of this prayer is immense, and you can imagine why it is so. Because a person sleeps, and then he has to get up and leave the comfort of his bed, sacrifice his sleep to go and stand in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, to go and stand in the court of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and pray in the court of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So we see likewise now, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, he would get up. But when he would get up for tahajjud, he would go and get his own water, sort out all of these things himself. He would arrange for the water for his ablution, his wudu himself. And when he was asked that, you know, why don't you ask one of your servants to arrange water for you? Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. He says, the night is for them and it is for their rest. You know, just think about it. Somebody has a servant who is available to be serving him. But he's still so careful that, look, these are, at the end of the day, they're also human beings. They also need their rest. And the night is for them to have their rest. Subhanallah. Likewise, when we look at, in terms of his fulfilling the rights of the people, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he said to one of his servants that, I had once twisted your ear, so you avenge me for that. Come and twist my ear as well. Do it so in this world, because the revenge in this world is much lighter than the revenge of the hereafter. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. My dear Islam brothers, just ponder for a second. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he says to one of his servants that once he became displeased and he twisted his ear. And because of that, he says to him, you come and avenge me. In this world, take your revenge. How many people's rights have we violated? For many of us, it is a normal thing which we do not even consider a sin. We say things which hurt the feelings of other Muslims. We insult and humiliate other Muslims in front of other people. Publicly, we humiliate them. And we derive pleasure from that. We gain pleasure from such acts. We maybe have wrongfully taken the wealth of another Muslim. Maybe we have damaged the property of another Muslim. And we have not made up for it in any way. We have not sought his forgiveness. We have not asked for forgiveness, and nor have we repaid him in any way. Maybe some unfortunately have robbed another Muslim. Maybe they have stolen their mobile phone or their bike or any such item. My dear Islam brothers, if such is the case, if we have ever sworn at a Muslim, if we have ever hurt the feelings of another Muslim, humiliated another Muslim, stolen another Muslim property, or damaged another Muslim's property, or violated any sort of a right of a Muslim, any right from amongst the human rights, then we need to seek forgiveness. We need to ask Him for forgiveness, ask Him to forgive us, and if we have to repay in any way, if it's something that we've stolen and we need to repay the price, then we need to do so. Otherwise, if we can get His forgiveness in this world, ask for His forgiveness in this world, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla we can hope from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla that He will also forgive us. But if we fail to ask for His forgiveness in this world, then the revenge that will be taken in the hereafter is much severe. What if we have to give out our good deeds, hard-earned good deeds on the Day of Judgment, because we swore at another person, because we stole his mobile phone? We can go and buy a mobile phone from a shop. So is it worth it, us having to give up our good deeds on the Day of Judgment for a small item of this world? My dear Islam brothers, this is truly something for us to ponder over. When we look into the blessed life of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, another beautiful quality of his is his control of his nafs, his disciplining his nafs. A person's base self is always in need of discipline and in control. Otherwise it starts to take over and become the ruler. Starts to rule that person, starts to be the ruler of that person, and the person becomes a slave to the nafs. So likewise, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he would discipline his nafs to the extent that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, once he was seen coming from his orchard carrying a pile of wood over his head, even though many of his servants were present and available. Someone said that, why did you not let your servants carry this pile? He said, I could have done so, but I am putting my nafs into trial, whether it can carry it or dislikes carrying it. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. This was the blessed life of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. When we look at his blessed life and we see a few other things that are very easily noticeable, those are his soft-heartedness and his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his fear of the matters of the hereafter. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu, it is stated, and keep in mind, despite the fact that he is Amirul Mu'mineen, the compiler of the Holy Quran, as we have discussed previously, one of his titles, he is the compiler of the Holy Quran. He was undoubtedly destined to go to paradise. He has been given the guarantee of paradise by the blessed tongue of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And yet, he would remain unable to control himself when he would see a grave. It is mentioned that whenever Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an would stand near some grave, he would weep so much that his beard would get drenched with tears. Subhanallah. This was his fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, his fear with regards to the matters of the hereafter. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu anhu, he says, if I am made to stand between hell and paradise, between hell and heaven, and I do not know which way I will be commanded to move towards, then I would prefer to turn to ashes before I am commanded to go towards one of the paths. Subhanallah. This is Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu fearing the hidden divine plan of Allah Azza wa Jal. That I do not know, what if I am commanded to go towards the hellfire, even though he is destined for paradise, even though he is one of the higher ranked companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This was Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. And in fact, whilst we're on this topic, a great saying of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu, that worrying about worldliness and this world brings darkness in the heart, whereas worrying about the hereafter produces nur and light in the heart. Subhanallah. This is a lesson that we can take from his blessed life radiyallahu ta'ala an. When we look at his love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one simple example that we can take is the fact that when he was sent as a representative and as a messenger of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He, radiallahu anhu, after he had completed the task that he had gone for, he was told by the Quraysh, إِن شِئْتَ أَن تَطُوفَ بِالْبَيْتِ فَطُوفْ. If you want to do the tawaf of the Kaaba, if you want to do the tawaf of the blessed house of Allah Azza wa Jal, then do so. But he says that I will never do so until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done the tawaf of it, and we follow upon his footsteps. Subhanallah. This was the love that Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, we see that he had great love for following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that it is stated, Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he sat by the entrance of the masjid and asked for the meat of the limb of a goat and consumed it. He ate it. He then offered salah without redoing the wudu, without repeating his wudu, his ablution, and explained that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also consumed the same whilst sitting at the same place and did so in the same way. Subhanallah. Once Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he smiled whilst performing wudu. The people asked the reason, to which he replied, once I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled having performed wudu at this very same place. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This love for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this love to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was a great quality of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. My dear Islamic brothers, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, attaching ourselves to Dawat Islami provides us that same opportunity to build this love for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to act upon the sunnahs of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. So my dear Islamic brothers, attach yourself to the blessed environment of Dawat Islami. You know, ask yourself, how many times have I said, have I asked, have I heard from other people, such and such action is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so and so is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam. But have I started to act upon any of them? Be it even though they are simple sunnahs, have I started to act upon any of them? And if the answer is no, then let's make an intention, to a firm intention to start acting upon the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And alhamdulillah, as I mentioned, attaching ourselves to the Madani environment of Dawat Islami is a great way for us to do so. It's a great way for us to become habitual of learning the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and implementing them into our own lives. Travel with the Madani qafilas of Dawat Islami. Watch Madani channel. Continue to watch Madani channel, where we, inshallah, we will learn many sunnahs from time to time. Many sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are mentioned. So inshallah, make it a habit to watch Madani channel, make it a habit to travel in the Madani qafilas of Dawat Islami, attend the weekly sunnah inspired gatherings of Dawat Islami, and attach yourself to this Madani environment of Dawat Islami. You will see that many sunnahs start to become a part of your life. May Allah grant us the ability to remember, act upon, and pass on to others what we've heard. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum.